Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and Mites.
30 people getting into a ring a couple at a time, and it's not exactly intervals that are kept up regularly. That was my unproduced Royal Rumble theme that I submitted for 10 straight years, all of the 90s, never accepted, don't know why. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Alpha Academy, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Danielle Housen, Danielle Radford.
I could never ask for anything better. Thank you, Julian. I mean, I know it was right there, but thank you, Julian.
And Hard Kelk Country, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello. Very good. Very evil. Very excited. Very good. Very evil. I'm very excited. I'm
so excited. Oh, it's time. It's that magical time when my favorite event of the year happens, even though it gets moved to a Saturday, which is a little weird, and I keep trying to set a reminder in my brain for it. Royal Rumble's here. Is everybody else excited for the Royal Rumble?
The Rumble is my favorite.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's my favorite. We're of so the big excited. Four. And yes, whilst Saturday is weird and I have to get used to it, also, I don't mind that I get to like watch this thing and then sleep on Sunday.
Oh, that's true.
Because, you know, the Rumble is like, I mean, not this year, because this year I'm seeing it with like one other person. But usually you have like a party and like everyone, there's literally never been a Royal Rumble party that I have not gone to where you haven't drawn numbers and bet on it. Never happened. never happened once. And then, of course, you know, like it's a wrestling party. So everyone's like drinking beer and all that stuff. And I'm old now. It was already over at like 9 or 10. And even that is like, I want to be at home with my cats and unwinding watching, you know, whatever, Peacemaker or Yellow Jackets or whatever. and so I
two, don't... Two no, notably calming shows.
Mm-hmm. Very calming.
You're gonna unwind with.
That's explains a lot about me. But yeah, like just I want to go home and like watch my stuff and unwind for a couple of hours like the old lady that I am. So yeah, like the Saturday thing, it's weird. I have to get used to it. Really don't mind it. I got work in the morning, you know? I work on Monday.
I'm personally against it, but I'm grateful on behalf of people in time zones where it is not great to stay up and watch it. The number of people I will tweet with who are watching pay-per-views in the UK,
oh, God.
I'm like, go to sleep, and they're like, it's 3 a.m. I'm like, go to sleep. There are so few things that I would in wrestling that I would stay up till 3 a.m. for, and I say that with nothing but love because baby likes her sleep.
I love Wrestle Kingdom. I can't do it anymore. I can't
yeah,
stay up.
I can't be sat up at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering whether or not Rey Mysterio is coming out at number 30. I can't. Like, I can't do it. So, like, I'm really pleased for those people.
As of 3 days ago, we had 22 men announced for the Men's Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are tag teams. Like, a wild number of them are tag teams. Mm-hmm. Any predictions of the people we've seen so far who've entered? Any predictions? Do we think the winner is in the announced group? And one person who you think would be brought in as a surprise?
It can't be Roman again, you know? that used to be the easy answer.
I guess that's the only upside. Although, what if it was? What if he just entered himself and he fucking won? And then he's like, I'm going to wrestle myself. Although, I actually feel like that's more of a Becky thing
that's
to do
more
right
Becky
now.
Thing.
So, I mean, either way. Or what if they both entered themselves and then they insisted on facing each other? Like, that, I'm down for that.
Well, honestly.
What if he loses to Seth Rollins?
And then he has to fight Becky at the Rumble. Yay!
Correct.
At the WrestleMania.
Yes.
So just Rue on a pole. Rue on a pole. Ooh, match. Seth versus Becky. Becky would win. It would be a great moment for feminism. But I mean, I don't know. Would it? I don't know. I keep looking at this list of people and I'm like, the only upside to having been watching wrestling with one eye on the rest of the world recently, as opposed to both eyes on the men in their tiny panties, is that I genuinely don't know. And I actually am really pleased. This is the first time I felt good about my disengagement recently, because now I feel 100% all in on this Rumble.
But not
I have intended. A wild prediction for you.
Give me.
Do it.
I think that there is a fair chance
I don't care what anybody said, if anybody said anything about it, that The Undertaker will appear in the Rumble. The reason being,
Michelle McCool
is there in the Women's Rumble, already announced.
I've been dreading.
Yeah.
And it feels like we had that in 2020 when Beth Phoenix and Edge showed up. Couples, it's a good date night for wrestling couples.
Michelle has been on before, right? And we said that he would show up and he didn't, but he was backstage and people were like, Mark is here. And they were like, he's going to get in the Rumble. And then he was like, lol, like, you adorable. But I also feel like he'd be more inclined to do it this year.
Possible.
Because it would be like, he's done now, right? Technically, as much as he's ever done. Yeah. I think it makes more sense to come back as a surprise entrant when you're done. And he doesn't even have to get eliminated. He could eliminate himself if he wanted to. Like, he could come in, throw someone out, and fucking step out the ring and walk back to the back. That would look amazing. Yeah. And then that sets him up for a Mania match if he wants it. Or he could come in and Omos could eliminate him, put Omos over. I hate that, dude.
Well, yeah, no, and they won't.
It's nothing personal. I bet he's really nice, but
No one's going to go over Taker if Taker comes in.
Yeah, or he'll put over someone that he wants to put over, right? That's Undertaker's thing. Like, he has his face that he will support. Maybe he would let Big E take him out. I don't know. That's a bold claim.
That's a bold, Robert bold Rude. Claim.
Robert's got a better chance. Riddle, maybe. Like, he fucking loves MMA, right? And he's trash. So maybe he'll let Riddle throw him out.
You know, the Bone Street crew was very inclusive. There were people from all walks of life. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true.
All different heritages coming
true.
Together to play dominoes, which is, of course, the thing that unites us all as humans.
Yeah, actually, let's look at this list and cross off anyone that's ever been known to own a PlayStation, because he won't let them put him out. I'm excited to see Dominic like kick out Ray, or Ray kick out Dominic, whichever way that's going to go, because they tease that a little bit. That could be fun. Some Mysterio on Mysterio violence.
I'm not going
to
lie.
Someone will have to make up for it by buying a new Gucci product.
Yeah, Dominic's been doing better. And as I've said before, not to brag, I sold him a Nintendo system.
Yeah, he can afford it apparently. Gucci.
Well, this was back when I was selling video games for a living. It's funny because
I love the thought that you just like drove to his house and did it last week. Danielle was like, hey, Dominic.
He's fell off a truck.
And, like, I got something for you.
Well, I mean, so I wasn't supposed to sell it because it was pre-ordered by people and already like paid for. And like the week before or a couple of weeks before, I had already told Trey Parker he couldn't have one. And then Mysterio came because it was WrestleMania. And I was like, yeah, you get to buy this.
Yeah, you can have this.
I make exceptions. I am a hypocrite.
What was it, a Wii?
It's fine.
Yes, you can think I'm that young.
I'm trying to think of a Nintendo system everybody would have. I'm trying to think of how.
Oh, it was a DS. Dominic you said it was a DS.
That was a DS. I have no idea what the timeline of all that stuff is.
Yeah, because this was during, I think, 19. So yeah, I would have been a DS.
Who here wasn't selling Nintendos when they were 4 years old, Danielle? You are fine. This is absolutely reasonable, and you look great.
Didn't the Wii come out in like 2006?
I desperately need you to stop putting ages to things.
I didn't say Virtual Boy. I mean, I didn't.
So you a barcode battler? Did you sell him a barcode battler?
You sold. That's let me get question. This straight.
I sold him the Power Glove. Is what happened. He came in to buy a Power Glove. He was like, "It's so bad."
Dominic and Rey Mysterio come in. You sell them an Odyssey. And then they go about their lives.
I sold them Pong.
And now they're in the Royal Rumble.
Sold them Pong.
I do really want to know about the Johnny Knoxville. I am obsessed with it. Like, who is he throwing out? Why? I know why he's there because of Jackass. Yeah. But what's his gag storyline going to be?
Sami Zayn. He's been linked up with Sami Zayn. So probably.
No, I hate that. I hate that because I don't watch it. Like, I hate that.
I'm campaigning to be in the Royal Rumble match.
Ah, that's right. That's right. I saw your little video declaring you were going to be in the Royal Rumble. Look, let me tell you something. As locker room leader, let me tell you something that nobody else is going to tell you, okay? This is in Jackass. You understand? You can't just run into a brick wall 100 miles an hour. That's not how things work around here. You need technical wrestling skills.
I'm nervous, like, not in a... Obviously, like, it's not great to have, like, the celebrity person come in unless you're Bad Bunny, because apparently you really fucking care and you look really good doing stuff.
Or Stephen Amell.
Or Stephen Amell.
I hope he's one of the surprises and he just comes in and like clears the fucking
house. Yeah. But Johnny Knoxville, I interviewed him when he did that, I think it was like Action Park, whatever. It was the one that's kind of loosely based on that one amusement park that in New Jersey or whatever that used to kill people. And
that is actually Action Park.
Thank you. Action. I interviewed him and like, he can't fucking walk unless he got like the full like wrestler upgrade, like new hips, new knees. Dude has his like his eye came out. He had like a colostomy bag for a while. Like when I say this, like this isn't me being like, ha ha ha, it's funny. It's literally like when I heard they were doing a new Jackass, I was like, they're not gonna live. Cause he was telling me all these injuries. Like these are not things that are like fake. And I might be, you know, I could always be wrong. There could be some that I'm missing and I might be misquoting. I know he lost an eye and had to like get that baby shut back in.
Yeah. I just read an interview with him on Vulture and he listed like every single injury and it was fucking nuts. And like the headline of that article or the pull quote was like, doctor says I can't have any more concussions or I'm going to be like dribbling soup 2 years from now. And I'm like, dude, and you thought the correct place to ply your fucking wares was wrestling?
I fucking watched that man go to the bathroom and it was like watching, you remember when like Mick Foley, everything was bad and like it took him forever, like he looked worse than Mick Foley looked, like it took him forever to like move or go anywhere. And of course like he's like pleasant in the interview and like he's a great interview because he's Johnny Knoxville and he knows how to turn it on, but you can tell he was in a lot of fucking pain, like a lot of pain. So
all those guys.
I guess Sammy's a safe pair of hands for him, and I like that about it.
That's why I don't.
Just stop pairing Sammy up with fucking reality people. This is clearly why my brain refused to accept it. I apologize for everyone who's screaming at the podcast right now. But, like, how can it go from the fucking scumbag Paul? Like, how dare you taint my precious Sammy with a Paul brother? And now, I mean, I'm sure Johnny Knoxville's a delight. I'm sure I've only ever heard that he is a delightful man. But let him do wrestlings, please.
I know.
Not to sound like an AEW fan, but like, let him do some wrestlings.
And it is also, obviously, they place Sammy with the person that they think is going to be the big mainstream draw, which is like, sorry, guys, WrestleMania has like the So no. I get it. And he's also a safe worker and he's very charismatic and he can hold his own. But yeah, it's not my favorite thing.
He deserves a belt after all this. Give that man any kind of fucking belt. Some kind of fucking belt. Please give him something. And I know they did just give him a ton of money, so that's great. But
love,
you know,
that for him.
Also nice belts. Belts for him.
Belts, belts.
Do
belts,
love that for belts, him. Belts. I'm Sammy for Syria, which is just doing great. So.
Yeah.
What a fucking great guy.
Yeah. Okay. Were there any moments in the Go Home Raw or SmackDown shows that grabbed your interest particularly? I mean, the real Go Home SmackDown is tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
As of this recording.
I deuced not care for Raw. So, like, it was fine.
I didn't mind Raw. I did watch it, and I kind of didn't mind it, which was a fun place to be. But my big highlight, my non-wrestling highlight, was the... And I was going to put this over. I almost put this over, but the Becky Doudrop promo, which was just like fucking great. I nearly texted all of you to just talk about their makeup. And then I was like, stop it. They've got lives.
Or we have a group chat. Just do that.
I know, but I was like, it's too much.
It's never too much.
And also I spent about 20 minutes. I spent like 20 minutes on Instagram trying to find out what lipstick Becky was wearing because I was like, she looks so fucking good. They look so fucking good. I love that gear on her. I loved how they both looked amazing. I thought the way Becky put over Doudrop was so good. And Becky is a master at that. It is funny when I watch her, you know, call herself the man and the Ric Flair echoes of it all, but she is so good at doing the thing where she sits there and says, I'm incredible, but you know, yeah, maybe I'm crazy for picking you because like you could break my ribs. You could break every bone in my body. You could destroy me. You could easily overpower me, but maybe that's why I want to do it because maybe I am crazy. And it's like, oh my God, she's so fucking good. And then Doudrop just sat and laughed at her. Doudrop's just like, yeah, no, I'm gonna murder you. And I really thought that they aced it. I thought they did such a good job. They made me really care about a match that realistically I have very little emotional investment in, only because I cannot see a world in which Becky loses. But they really made me want to see him fight It really made me want to see him go at it.
Yeah, no, Becky,
I'm
like,
really
fully
excited about it.
Becky fully is doing the Paul Heyman of like, I understand that in order to make y'all care about the match, I have to make you understand that my opponent is at my level. And like, even if in the eyes of the universe, they aren't, that's an important part of selling.
She's Ginger Rogersing the whole thing because she's doing it backwards in heels. Yep. She, you know, she doesn't have her own Paul Heyman. She is her own Paul Heyman. It's just like to watch someone do it and watch someone be at the top of their fucking game like she is right now is just so enjoyable. But I love to see Doudrop rise up and meet her there. I fucking hate the name. I find it so hard to say.
I keep wanting to
say, can we just call her Piper?
Yeah.
I know. I won't call her Viper if they don't want me to. But please, can we at least call her Piper? Clever Kaylee Ray, who just separated her own name into two different names and is now allowed to use her own. But man, Doudrop really sold me on that match. The brawl at the end of the promo, the like toe-to-toe verbal sparring. Mm-hmm. Just really excited about it.
Then talking about NXT 2.0, I can't wait for 2.1. They have a lot of bug fixes they have to push through.
Well, you know, you got to do the iOS because 2.0 always has bugs in it. And so they have to make sure there's like security vulnerabilities. Like you have to.
Yeah.
2.1.3 is going to be great.
2.1 is where they finally fix the parking lot problem. Mm-hmm. Like that's where they finally fix their biggest vulnerability in NXT is the problem with the parking lot.
Thank goodness. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic is back.
Okay. Love it. It is weird now. Tag teams all day. Dusty Rhodes all day. It's fucking weird now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NXT is weird now. So it makes sense that the cup is weird now. I didn't manage to see those matches. Mm-hmm. Grizzled Young Vets are in it, right? Because I looked at the brackets and I was like, okay, I'll check out X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But like, if Grizzled Young Vets don't fucking win this again, which I don't know if they're out yet, which is why I'm asking, mm-hmm. Those poor fuckers who have been there, how many times have they been in this? How many times have they got to the fucking finals? I'm like, those guys. And I say that as Lindsay literally sits back and prepares to lose half of our listeners. I'm a Man U fan, and these men are from Liverpool, and it's not in my nature to be able to support them. But like,
oh, I know, because I remember I was asking you about that American what's he play for? I think he plays for Liverpool.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not at Liberty.
Captain America's so fucking hot. Anyway, sorry. Soccer talk. Captain America is really fucking hot. Anyways,
but man, I just. Grizzled Young Vets, to me, they still feel cuspy for old school NXT, but they also don't feel like they fit in 2.0 to me. Mm-hmm. But do they feel like main roster? No. So I don't know. I am very curious to see the Dusty Cup because I think it tells us a lot about where they are headed.
Impact.
I was so excited to see MSK win.
Yes.
Shut up, pal.
Also, you know, on to the mid-card for Grizzled Young Vets. I'm sorry. I hate it, but that's what's, you know, I'm not manifesting that for them, but.
Can they just go back to UK and fucking win loads of stuff and be great? Because NXT UK is pretty fucking good. I don't know. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for people from Liverpool. Things that have never been said. It's not true. I've got a lot of friends from Liverpool. But I feel bad for Scally Scousers that walk around waving scarves. That's not been said before. This is going to shock you. I didn't care for it.
Yeah. That's seems to be just what they've done for themselves. They've built a great brand with plenty of lighting and lots of colors. And it was such a harsh, stark transition that we were not given time to care, and only the people who are like out of their mind great are really breaking through with fans. It feels like we're not talking about NXT the way people used to talk about NXT. And if that was their goal and Vince was tired of it and they were too close to the sun and he just wants it to be a feeder system for WWE,
they've gotten closer to the sun, Al. If the lighting is anything to fucking go by.
They are fully Icarus. They are Icarus at this point.
Might as well be wrestling on the sun.
I like, even when every time I see Cameron Grimes shout to the moon, I just want to hug him. I want to like stand at the side and be like, Cameron, come here. It's all right. You don't have to. You don't have to do this. And give him a hug.
Also, that catchphrase is like super, like he's got to get a new one. Like that's so out of date by now.
But it was so good, and it was so over, and everyone was so into it. And now I'm like, the fuck?
Can't wait for the Cameron Grimes ape NFT.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I was just about to say that. Oh, my God. I can't. Speaking of, this was such a fun experiment because they had someone on to perform a song named Ollie J. And I was able to, in real time, watch reactions to people. So when she comes out that limo and she looks hot as shit, obviously gorgeous, hot, confident looking, which is what we like in any performer, everyone on the internet and on Twitter lost their goddamn mind. Who is this? How is this? Where do I find her? What is her name? All of the stuff, like I'm literally like, I keep my thirst private and I try not to sexualize folks, but I did. And I texted a bunch of people and I was like, I think I'm in love. And then you watch the responses change as she gets into the ring and starts rapping. And it's like, oh, go girl, give us nothing. Like she's literally, she gets in there and she's like, I'm Ollie J and this is my hit single and I am NXT. And I'm like, okay. And then she gets into the ring and gosh darn it. I mean, she wasn't wrong. She is NXT 2.0. Looks great. Has the look. But just lacking in charisma and just kind of like rocking back and forth. And at one point she like forgets to start one of her verses. I implore all of you to look at it because it was literally, I'm watching everyone go from, I'm in love. Who is this? This is interesting. Is this a wrestler? Is this a rapper? What's happening? To, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Like I'm just watching the reaction and like how it changed.
She's not Poppy, is she?
She's not.
She's
Poppy.
No fucking Poppy.
She ain't Poppy.
Oh no.
Yeah. Hi, it's Poppy. That's NXT. Ollie J is NXT 2.0. I think we've just distilled it into one problem.
It was literally one of those things where it was like grand opening, grand closing. Like as soon as everyone got really excited, then like immediately everyone was like, nope, nope, absolutely not. And it's like one of those things where I don't think she was ready. I blame her management. But ooh. It was the rap NXT 2.0 version of that Lana Del Rey SNL performance.
Bring back Poppy.
Bring back. Hashtag bring back Poppy.
Justice for
not
Poppy.
To be outdone by the Royal Rumble happening this weekend. AEW had its own huge event. Beach break. Hashtag beach break. Trending
beach
worldwide.
Beach break. It's a break at the beach. Break. They went to the beach for a break. It didn't look very sunny or warm in the videos that they showed us.
Wasn't it Cleveland? I didn't even know that Cleveland had beaches. Cleveland?
Yeah, it's the mistake by the lake. There are shores everywhere.
Paul Gargano family.
Sammy Guevara is your undisputed TNT champion after a crazy, dangerous ladder match with Cody Rhodes, Tattoo Neck himself.
Old Tattooey.
Old Tattoo Neck.
Old Tattooey.
Oh, bless him.
Tattooey.
So I watched the match. Obviously, like, there were amazing spots. There were incredible moments. Mm-hmm. It was just like a, wow, this is happening. Mm-hmm. I am going to ask a question, which I dare not ask on the internet because I like being alive and being in my house. And apparently I shouldn't do those two things if I ask it on the internet. Mm-hmm. Why did Cody beat Sammy for the belt and then drop it because he got the COVID or I guess hand it over for an interim period while he recovered from the COVID, only to then lose it back to Sammy again? She says, going up high-pitched in a question mark. It's a genuine question. Like, I genuinely want to know storyline-wise why it happened.
It's sort of in the same vein of Shawn Michaels is the IC champion. Mm. He leaves. Razor Ramon becomes IC champion in the interim a little bit. Then he comes back and says, I never really lost it. I'm the IC champion. It's sort of that scenario. It's not quite that, but it's
messy because he lost it Sammy lost it clean, right? Like, he's lost to Cody. Cody was two-time TNT. Mm-hmm. Yay, Cody. Cody only surrendered it for the interim time period because he was sick and they didn't know how long he would be out, right. Which, like, you know, I have full respect for that because, yes, we don't know how long someone's going to be sick with COVID. Yeah. We know it can be if it's long COVID or whatever.
And they also have, like, a kid at home, like, a baby at home and, like,
And he has a baby, and I actually really respected him for that because he was putting his health and the health of his roster first before his ego by saying, I'm going to let go of this. Because I don't know how long I'll be out. I'm asking storyline wise why they had him beat Sammy clean, only for Sammy to then win it back clean.
I think they just like literally, I think that that was what was going to happen. And they just literally.
So Cody was only ever going to hold it for like a hot minute and then put it right back on Sammy?
I don't think so. I think it's one of those
things. I just don't get the storyline of it. I think Sammy's struggling as a face. Mm-hmm. And he's got, I saw him with his little cards being like, this is for all of us. Like, fuck off. Like, really? Like, genuinely, I was like, suck it, Sammy. Like, you are not us. You are not with us. I'm with Pam. Team Pam, motherfucker. That's my own issue. But then also, like, unless Cody accepts and understands and realizes his heelish nature, because if Cody came out and was like a super fucking evil heel and was like, hey, bitch, I want my belt back, I would get it. Mm. But I didn't feel like that happened, so I'm just confused. It just seems like murky storytelling to me.
I have a theory. It just popped into my
Don't
head.
Don't do that to me, Kelk.
I was playing NBA 2K22 last night, and when you run an NBA team, one of the things you have to do is distribute minutes to your players, just like you would in any sport. You decide who spent. You have a pool of minutes that you have to distribute.
Yeah,
that is how sports work.
You get to a point where you're like, well, these are my three main players. They each need to be out there for a half an hour. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you have all these other players who are either not going to go out or are only going to get 1 or 2 minutes of playing time just because of the way you distribute it. And AEW has exhibited, to their credit, the ability to tell a very long story for a long time, keep it sustained, have it well-planned and intricate in a great way. I wonder if their storytelling juice where storytelling efforts are put into only a handful of people and storylines and everything else just because of a resource issue maybe feels a little bit more slapdash for that reason.
Yeah.
There's just not
I wouldn't even wonder that, but I obviously am on the cynical side of this. Like, I absolutely would believe that because I think the people that are good at telling their own stories tell their own stories and tell them very well, and the people that are not necessarily naturally inclined storytellers or don't have the experience or haven't been exposed to other naturally great storytellers and learned it yet, I think their storytelling suffers.
Right.
I literally just think that that was how the program was going to end with that match. And they were like, well, we already like planned the match. Let's just like do the match that we planned because we were really looking forward to it.
But, you know, also, I don't need Cody with the belt. So I'm not mad about it. I just genuinely was confused by it. But I got a great match out of it, and I got to see Sammy pull that fucking cutter off the top of that ladder, which I hope to never see again. I hope to watch that one clip where everyone survived and walked away healthily, and then I hope to never see anyone try it ever again.
What? Sammy's going to have to... Sammy!
Oh, what a cutter! At least 10 feet, maybe 12. The cutter was perfectly executed. The fans here going crazy, and rightfully so.
What the hell just happened?
Look at this.
Sammy Guevara leapfrogs off the ladder to land a cutter on the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
It was so good, and I never want to see it again.
Yeah, just to go back, I'm not defending by any means. They have a track record of making what feels like hard right turns that would have benefited greatly from storytelling leading up to it. And sometimes you still get a little room after to sort of backfill it like you did with Daniel Bryan and his inexplicable heel turn that came out of nowhere that never seemed like it was motivated by anything. But because he's Daniel Bryan, he was able to make it work. And I'm sure they worked with him, but it just never.
But exactly, because he's Daniel Bryan, like we don't question it, which is like it's Daniel Bryan doing Daniel Bryan things. And we will sit in line to watch him do it all day. I'm not attacking it. Like I said, like I don't want to feel like I'm putting you in a position to defend.
No.
I'm genuinely curious.
I'm actually on your side about it.
We're all on the same team. We all want the best for everyone. Nuts.
I would appreciate as a fan if somebody's going to turn heel or turn face or do whatever. Give them 3 minutes on a microphone to tell me why. And if I can buy it or I cannot buy it, but at least they've come up with a reason why it's happening that they can try to sell me on as a fan so that I can get invested. That's just an opportunity for you as creatives to get me, a fan, invested in what you're doing, to see some logic, some motivation that I can agree or disagree with. And that's going to make me cheer or boo. Totally.
I wonder, because this has happened with AEW, and it's not my favorite thing. I've talked about it. I wonder if we missed something in being the Elite, and that's why maybe it doesn't connect for us.
It's unacceptable.
And Sammy has his own blog too.
Sammy has his own blog too.
Listen to old Nana Lindsay and her blog with a B. I was at a beauty event once and an 18-year-old asked me what a blog was with a B. I told her I had a blog and she said a vlog and I said a blog, and we said that back and forth at each other for about 20 minutes until I said with a B and the kids don't know. Anyway, Sammy has a vlog. Which also has stuff that we might be missing out on. I'm really curious to see where it's going, especially with the shift in the Inner Circle in general. Can the Inner Circle survive? Jericho's up to shenanigans. There's stuff not going so well for those buddies, right? Yeah. Things are confusing. And then if you're going to have a face Sammy with a belt in the middle of it all, where does it lead? Where does it lead?
Yeah.
Where does it lead, Chris? You're the only one who seemingly knows.
I love a faction, but right now it's all but two of them feel like bodyguards. You're just there, virgiling. I don't know what you're doing, you know?
I just to go back, Danielle, if it's because we missed something on Being the Elite or something on YouTube, that is unacceptable.
I agree.
I watched The Mandalorian in its entirety so far, what's been released so far. And I have watched very little of Clone Wars and the animated stuff because I watched about 8 hours of it. It was I don't have to do this, and stopped.
It gets better after that movie after that first season.
But it's a choice.
Not going to watch two seasons of Game of Thrones to get to the good stuff either. I'm just not.
Right.
I can't. There's too much. I'd rather rewatch Back to the Future.
I have a 4-episode limit. If you don't have me by 4 episodes, I'm donezo.
That series is well constructed enough that I can follow the storylines without knowing every single reference. Now, if I watched all of that and had that information, it would only make it better. And I recognize that. And I know that there are going to be things I don't quite latch onto. But if the storytelling is good, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed or The Mandalorian season 1 or 2.
And how nothing matters ever again.
We're going to have an episode thread in our Facebook group where you can discuss it with the rest of the nation of conversation. Plus, you can read more of what we thought on Twitter and Instagram. When we come back, it's the women of the Royal Rumble. That's next on Tights and Fights.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just got to share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we're giving one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Hell yeah.
Let's get ready to rock.
Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Holy shit!
WWE Dynamite.
I hate ducks!
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, Hal.
What? Play that as I walk down the aisle.
The women of WWE getting their own version of the Royal Rumble is a relatively new annual tradition. But even before this match, there were four women who competed in the original Rumble to give us something to cheer for. So starting with the four Trailblazers, we had two-time Royal Rumble entrant Chyna, first in 1999, where she eliminated Mark Henry, and then second in 2000, where she was tangling with Chris Jericho after their triple threat match for the Intercontinental title, which Jericho won.
The ninth wonder of the world, making WWF history, the first woman ever to enter the Royal Rumble match.
I've explained this before. Chyna was one of my big, like, reasons I started watching wrestling, because I was like, this big bitch is just taking these dudes out. Fuck a Jeff Jarrett. Like, I don't care. Like, like, yes, I'm sorry. A belt is a household item. And you can kiss my ass. Taking out Mark Henry was just like such a huge thing. Having her come out and having everyone make such a big deal out of it. And God, like, it was, you had to be there. She was so fucking over. Like, remember how over Becky was a couple years ago, where she was like the biggest star in wrestling? Chyna was like very close to that when she was over.
Huge.
Yeah, I was not watching wrestling then, as we have established, but it is something that I went back to look for when I found out about Chyna, because I didn't know. They didn't tell me. Yeah, same as Danielle. I'm like, this is not, because at that point I was, you know, watching the Divas era, and this was not that. And it was a delight to pop back and see something that wasn't a bra and panties match, but was straight up murder.
When I first got the network, the first thing I did was watch all of Chyna's IC run and run up to getting the IC championship. And I'd still watch that when I'm sad or sick.
Very, very talented performer who had come in mixing it up with the men. She had been there all along. So it was a natural, choice to have her in. And by and large, before women got their own Rumble, all four of these entrants have something in common, which is they came in for one brief bit to either eliminate someone or further some storyline and then leave. But it was always a big deal when Chyna showed up. Then fast forward several years and you have Beth Phoenix, who enters and eliminates the Great Khali via kissing.
Beth Phoenix has eliminated the Great Khali! What a sacrifice! Oh! Now she's sucker sights on Punk!
Using kissing to get rid of a boy. I mean, it's biblical. We love it.
It is so that era, but like, I get it because it is part of the storyline. Right? But it is so that
and
era.
I do love, and I do give credit, possibly where it is not due, to the women being allowed to eliminate a great big bastard, for want of a better phrase. Like, I do love that they're just like, you know, we put this guy, who's going to eliminate Omos? Is Alexa Bliss going to come in and give him a kiss? You know, like, that's sometimes a great way to get around how to get a giant out the ring. You use whatever skills you have available to you. And if it's Beth Phoenix, it's kissing, because she's a great big badass that can kill you where you stand, but she's also hot as.
And he was the Punjabi playboy at the time, so it played into an established weakness of his. Then
also, I mean, I do have to say, if it is Alexa Bliss, it's going to be Lily. Anyway, go on.
Then you had Karma enter and was there briefly, and she got Michael Cole to eliminate himself from the match.
Excellent.
Karma!
King, check this out. This is only the third time something like this has ever happened. Karma is about to break somebody off a little sub-proper like, dog.
Oh, I hope she goes right after Cole.
I hope she just eat him like a piece of chicken.
Michael Cole is already crying. I see tears running. Oh, yes! She knocked his headgear right off.
She fucking kicked the shit out of Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, he eliminated her, but she did kick the shit out of him.
Perfect appearance. Yes. Love it.
And then the final woman to appear in the Men's Royal Rumble, or the latest, rather, could happen again, is Nia Jax.
No, she's entered the ring!
She's in the ring!
And I'm assuming this is official.
What do you mean it's official?
If it is, Nia Jax becomes, I believe, the one.
Holy!
The fourth woman to ever compete in the Men's Royal Rumble match.
Oh, no.
Oh! I mean, there was Chyna, there was Beth Phoenix, there was Karma, and now Nia Jax?
Okay, I simp hard for Nia Jax. I know. There are tons of reasons why not to. But I really wanted that to work. And again, another person who kind of kicked a lot of shit out of Dolph Ziggler. Dolph is just taking it from right and left. And yeah, she took the 619, which, I'm sorry, was super fucking dope. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, the fact that she just, like, picked Ray up and just, like, fireman carried him and spun him around. It was so cool. And I really, like, thought, like, this is exactly how you showcase a woman with strength, you know? Like, it is the opposite of, gosh, I don't even remember his stupid fucking name, and he's been on TV forever. But, you know, what's his name? That valet that was constantly beating up on women who were champions, and I hated it.
Reginald?
Reggie.
Whatever, man.
Reggie's still around, right? Reggie's
still around.
Very just, like, likely to ruin at least 5 minutes of my day when I'm watching the Rumble. Reggie's still very likely to ruin at least 5 minutes of my Women's Royal Rumble.
But yeah, it's just a nice way to, like, say, hey, these women, the ones that we pick, we have booked them as strong. We need you to see them as strong. Here you go. One of these days, Becky is gonna be in the Rumble. And she's gonna take out, like, three or four dudes. It's gonna happen. Like, she's gonna be in the Men's Rumble. She's gonna take out three or four dudes, for sure. If she gets out, it's gonna be one of those things where it's, like, her and Seth together, and, like, she gets distracted and someone takes her out.
Or she takes him out.
I want it.
She'd do it. She would fucking do it.
Oh, she would do it.
So I rewatched the four women's Rumbles just to sort of get into it and just to remember sort of how they went. And it's really, really interesting. The first one's great. And I don't think I've ever – trying to think of moments in wrestling that have made me cry. I don't think I have that reaction much. But in rewatching the first women's Rumble, when Nikki's being beat up on and Brie comes out to save her, I started that got me crying. I wasn't even teared up. I just was full on crying. I thought it was very sweet. Yeah. And a lovely moment. That one got me. But
I'm a crybaby. I cried during the entire first women's Rumble. Like,
I'm sure.
We're people. It's
that guy. I think the thing that I think they've done really well with the women's Rumble and all of the women's Rumbles, I mean, we've only had four. This is our fifth. This is exciting. It's five. This is, like, a real thing. This is exciting. It's five now.
Look, if it was a syndicated show, or if it was a TV show, it would go into syndication and everyone would make money.
She's real now. She's in the syndication. She exists. I think what they do really well is each Rumble has felt different, and each Rumble has felt legit. I think the first one, obviously, I mean, especially when you get towards the end, I think they are really, the Rumble for the women does so much, as it does for the men too, but it's done so much heavy lifting in telling not only current storylines, but planting future storylines and righting the wrongs of the past, which I think is really hard to do in a way that doesn't feel heavy-handed or forced. And what was great, like the first one, how we ended with the Bellas, and how many of us are sat there going, like, they're going to have the fucking Bellas win this. They're going to have the fucking Bellas win this. Because we never believed that Asuka could win. You know, who would have chosen Asuka as the winner? You know, realistically, knowing WWE's track record, not because Asuka wasn't amazing and undefeated and all that great stuff, but because it was WWE and the fucking Bellas were back. And this was peak Totes Bells, Totes Deves time. So it 100% would have believed that the Bellas were going to win this when they came running in at the end. But they still put Asuka over. Then, you know, the end to have Bayley, Nia Jax, Charlotte at the end. That's an amazing foursome. And that's, you know, I know they were dominant. The Bayley, Sasha, Becky. Nia always was on the outskirts of that. You know, she was always around in storylines. She may not have been in that core four, but she's been in storylines for a long time. But that made sense because they were so dominant in the storytelling. But then to have the Rumble where the NXT women had such an amazing showing.
Oh my God.
Like, they moved on to that. And when it really fucking looked for a minute like Shayna was going to beat Charlotte. Again, I think the Women's Rumble has more successfully made me go, no way, no way, than the men's. Like, it feels to me like they're going to make braver, bolder choices, which is why I'm really excited about this year's, when it is such a straight mix of veterans and current roster. And we still have, like, what, 8 or 9 people who we don't know who's coming in.
Yes.
And I really, really, really don't know what's going to happen. I genuinely don't, and I'm fucking thrilled.
Do you expect, I mean, we've had Dakota Kai has wrestled in a few, Candice LeRae when she was actively performing and not pregnant. She wrestled in a few. I mean, they had a lot of NXT. There's an extent to which, like, the first one felt historic, right? You have all these people coming back, and why wouldn't they want to? They want to be part of this first Rumble. Then you have the second one, which for me was a bit of a sophomore slump. And you know, you have the Royal Rumble every year. It's not always going to be great. The men's Rumbles can attest to that. There are a handful that are good. I think the women have a higher batting average in their first four than the men did in their first four.
I think because the second one, they really kept it to current roster, and they brought in a couple of the NXT girls, and they brought in a few new people. But we didn't get the bumps of, hey, it's that person that you love.
I'm just interested to see. I mean, there doesn't feel like there's a clear out front. Oh, this person definitely will win, unless you go with Bianca Belair again.
You know, I was thinking that because I'm like, I would not hate to see Bianca go back to back on Rumbles. I think if you're going to have it, and eventually you have to have someone go back to back. It's just part of the ebb and flow of wrestling storytelling, right? Yeah. It does happen eventually. I would not be mad to see Bianca be that person. I wouldn't be mad to see Rhea win it. She's come close. My greatest fear, the only one this is horrible because I hate to be like, I don't want this. I'd rather lean into the positive, but I'm like, don't give it to Carmella. Like, that's all I'm saying. It's like, let's not do that. But she's tag team champion right now, so that doesn't feel like something that would happen.
I really liked her as Money in the Bank. Like, I thought that was
As Miss Money in the Bank. I don't think she's the right person to carry a Rumble storyline right now. Yeah. And I saw a few people talking about it online, and I was like, no, sir. But looking at, I mean, current roster women that are announced, we've got Rhea Ripley, we've got Nikki, we've got Carmella, Dana Brooke, Zelina Vega, Tamina, Shotzi, Natalia, Naomi, Aaliyah, Shayna, and Charlotte. And that's it for the current roster.
Where are they at? I don't remember the city.
St. Louis.
St. Louis. Well, because I'm trying to figure out, like, Hoomst is from there. Or around there.
And we'll get eliminated immediately. I don't know. Oh, also, there were some more people added to the end of the list. We've got Bianca and Liv Morgan. They're current too. Liv could be fun. Liv's kind of over. People love Liv.
It could be Liv's time.
Liv would be a fun winner. I think that takes some of the heat out of the mania of it. I maybe Nikki and Brie are the last two women standing and they challenge for the tag team title. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
There you go.
I mean, I do hate it, but I don't hate it, but I do hate it, but I don't hate it. I don't know how I feel. Let me say,
because of Peacemaker, for the men's rumble, do we think that Cena's going to come back? AG, yes.
Put AG in there.
Judo Master? Judo Master comes in and clean kicks Reggie's head off his shoulders?
Yeah. Oh, perfect. We asked you, the Nation of Conversation, for your thoughts about women in the men's rumble and the women's rumble, and you did not disappoint as usual. Matt K on Facebook supplied this fun fact. So Chyna was famous for being the first woman in the rumble at number 30, but how exactly did she earn the entry? 2 weeks before Raw, there was a battle royal to determine the spot. That's right, the corporate rumble. Yep. And Chyna threw Vincent Kennedy McMahon over the top rope to end it. Why do I remember this? Because Vince claimed he knew how to go over the top rope and ate shit when it came time for the spot. It's my best example of masculine overconfidence and schadenfreude. Well done,
I love when you can combine those two things.
Yes. So often they do come together.
They so often come together.
Also, Mark P. on Facebook said this. Can I just say that hearing Trish Stratus's giggle as the 30th entry to the first ever Women's Royal Rumble still sends chills? Well-deserved spot. You're right, Mark.
Yeah, the only thing I think that could push me over the Trish Stratus giggle, I mean, apart from Brie mode, which... It's just a fucking bop, motherfuckers, and I can't wait.
That's me.
If we hear Paige's scream, if we hear that fucking scream at number 30, you will hear, wherever you are listening to this, and my fellow hosts, you will hear my scream from East Los Angeles at the top of my fucking lungs, because I want it now. I want it now. I want it. I want it even more than I want Gargano in the men's rumble. And I want that so bad I can fucking taste it. But I want this now.
Can I pause it? Because I think we have to talk about this. It's not going to happen. But what if it did? What if Mickey fucking won? Because she's already said, like, on Impact that she was like, I'll put the belt up and we'll do belt versus belt as WrestleMania. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But what if it did?
I mean, I would love that. I would love that for her. I would love that. I mean, I don't care about Impact, but I would love that for her and for whoever she got to wrestle, because it would be really fun and important.
And they would lose in a disqualification.
Yeah, exactly. Because we couldn't have those belts be in the same place, because the world would implode. It would be like the end of his Dark Materials. It would be like, this can't be. But yeah, I wouldn't hate that. I just, there's nothing I'm looking at that I would really hate. Even if it was Carmella, she'd be great with it. You know, I saw that on Twitter and it made me sad. Because all I want is Paige. And you could have Paige come in at 30 and fucking sneaky win and put her in a Mania match and have her do very little between now and then to protect her precious neck. Mm-hmm. Even though obviously we know that she has one of those new magical necks made of witches and wishes and tea.
Well, whatever happens, the Royal Rumble is always a fun time. And if you want to watch along with other fans, find us on Facebook and Twitter via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got some things from wrestling you should know about. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Somewhere between science and superstition, there is a podcast.
Look, your daughter doesn't say she's a demon. She says she's the devil himself.
That thing is not my daughter. And I want you to tell me there's a show where the hosts don't just report on fringe science and spirituality, but take part themselves.
Well, there is, and it's Ono, Ross, and Carrie on Maximum Fun.
This year, we actually became certified exorcists.
So yes, Carrie and I can help your daughter.
Or we can just talk about it on the show.
Oh No, Ross and Carrie on MaximumFun.org.
Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the Three Count. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
As y'all know, there's nothing I love more than friendship. Obviously, like, we've had that thing where people on Raw were shouting out Mox as he was coming back. And we had a reference to Mox in several places, which was dope. So Roman Reigns did an interview where he was like, because there was that whole thing where Bully Ray is whatever, old dude. But he says, like, you know, John Moxley owes no apologies for checking into rehab. Talked about how, like, they are all still brothers no matter what. The Miz name checked MJF and was like, I don't think that he wants to be like me. I think he wants to be an original, and I think that he's great. And he basically put over MJF a bunch, which was great. And then we had this really cute moment where someone asked Paige, speaking of, what she thinks of Britt Baker. And she was like, oh, I love Britt Baker. And then Britt Baker was like, I love Paige. So I just, like, you know, there's so much tribalism that's happening right now with, like, I like this company and if you don't, you're bad. I like this company and if you don't, you're bad. And one should succeed and then everyone else should die or whatever. So I just like these reminders that the wrestlers care about their friends getting taken care of and being employed and paid. They're all like fans of each other and they all just love wrestling, and it's really, really nice to see.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful thing. Lindsay.
Friendship. I should put over friendship. Actually, I'm putting over friendship because I'm putting over Danhausen, who is very good and very evil, but a friend to many. I know everyone saw Danhausen on AEW. We all saw his entry into the Adam Cole Orange Cassidy match, which was fantastic, which I really, really enjoyed. We all know I enjoy when two men try to straight up kill each other. And they did. And I appreciated it. Thank you, guys. I hope your bodies are okay. And I didn't think anyone bled, so that makes it a perfect amount of trying to kill each other for me. Two fantastic smaller wrestlers showing how it's done, but with a surprise cameo from your Fanhausen, Danhausen. I fucking love that guy. I know I've put him over before. I'm sure I have. I got a cameo from him for my brother, for my brother's birthday, and he fully half-assed it, and I don't even care because it was still very charming. I gave it to my brother, and he was like, huh. But then he watched it like 10 times in a row because he's fucking great. he had a really terrible injury in the back half of last year and had to have surgery. Yes. And it was really rough. It was looking kind of scary for Danhausen. So I could not be more thrilled to see him getting a big old paycheck, which one assumes he is receiving. I kind of had half a hope in my heart that we would see him in the Rumble because he would be fucking magic. The idea of watching Danhausen creep along down to the ring with his little fleecy jacket on would have made me just the happiest girl in the world. But it was always going to be AEW or nowhere, I think, for that young man. But I'm fucking
thrilled. And
he's
been teasing it for like months.
Yeah. I know. I'm just thrilled. I've consumed an awful lot of Danhausen content when I was staying with my brother in November. He is a huge Danhausen fanhausen. And I just love to see people do well. And I love to see people who are doing weird individual shit do well. Because sometimes that's very weird, very specific shit doesn't get over the way that it could or should. And I love it. So yay for Danhausen. Yay for him joining the Best Friends. Mm. Boo to everyone who thought it was going to be Johnny Gargano. their night fucking sucked. But my night was made.
Holy hell, Danhausen. What?
Danhausen.
Who booked him?
What is this? I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Speaking of Johnny Gargano, if you've ever had the experience of having to take care of a young, rambunctious child who's trapped indoors on a rainy day, you know that it can be a lot. And while he may not show up at the Rumble, we don't know if he's going to show up in AEW or what his next move will be. You know that right now you can see him on Twitch with his pregnant wife, where he is that rambunctious child, and she is just trying to get through the day. And this is just a wonderful clip that gives us a little moment of their relationship together, of him dressed as the HBK Heartbreak Kid, which is the only way he could probably think of to seduce his lovely wife. Here it is.
I'm already pregnant. We've done enough.
That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. Follow me at Hal Lublin everywhere. I'm on my own podcast, some other people's podcasts. I have stuff coming out that hopefully I'll be able to talk about soon. But in the meantime, follow there for information and me tweeting about the Sixers all of the time. Danielle?
Yeah, you can find me at Danielle Radford on Twitter, and I'm usually plugging my stuff. Oh, I just had, for all my horror babies, I just released a podcast in partnership with the CW. It is an official companion podcast to the horror show Two Sentence Horror Stories. We talk to activists that like know about like the themes. We talk to people who were involved in creating the show. And it's just been a really fun time. And that is why I am a busy beaver and kind of crazy right now. Blink, blink.
Lindsay?
I am also on social media at Lindsay Kelk. Please come and say hello if you're nice. This is my only prerequisite. And I got books. On a Night Like This is out now. And I believe it's still running right now. Barnes & Noble, an independent bookseller that is not Amazon, is running an amazing promotion for 25% off pre-orders of like practically every paperback that's coming out this year. So you can actually get 25% off your paperback pre-order of my next book if you wanted to do that right now. I love to save you some money, and I love to support book chains that aren't that one. So go check out Barnes & Noble. Go check out On a Night Like This, out now. Christmas Wish coming in November. It'll be Christmas before you know it. Sorry. Apologies.
Our producer, Julian Borrell, says drink your water and enjoy your Rumble responsibly. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Find links to all of our social media channels in the show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. We'll be back next week for even more. You guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.